The question was asked, we have a mitzvos in the Torah regarding Ammon and Moab. Says, "Latidrosh shlomam v'tovatam kol yamecha l'olam." Don't seek out their peace, shlomam v'tovatam, or their well-being throughout your days forever. We have mitzvos that pertain to Ammon and Moab and other nations. How do we apply those mitzvot today? So the Talmud tells us, "Bas Sancheiriv v'bilbel et kol haolam." Sancheiriv, the Assyrian king, came along and confused the whole world, because Sancheiriv, when he would conquer a populace, would exile the people. He would take all the Ammonites when he conquered them and move them to another country, and take the people from Crete when he conquered them and move them into Israel, and take the Jews of the northern 10 tribes when he conquered them and move them into Africa. And so the concept was, if I can move around the people, so then I accomplish that they won't rebel against me. They're going to be working too hard to discover how to manage in the new territory. They will never have a home court advantage again, at least for a period, because they don't know the terrain. They have to learn it just like I do. And there's a higher likelihood that the next generation will be faithful Assyrian citizens, because they won't grow up hearing, "Ooh, this used to be ours. Now we no longer have our sovereignty. One day we'll kick out that evil ruler." No. They will grow up in a new country with new concepts under a new regime, and they won't be able to fight him off, and they will ultimately be faithful subjects. So Sancheiriv used this strategy and basically changed the whole world map. He exiled the northern 10 tribes, he exiled Ammon, Moab, and so ever since Sancheiriv, we assume that we don't know who is Ammon, who is Moab, who is Amalek. Right, we have a commandment to kill out Amalek. Who's Amalek? We don't know. So our general assumption is that we don't know who these nations are. Rambam says, we only enumerate in the 613 mitzvot those mitzvot that are eternal. When God gave us the man, God said, don't leave over any from one day to the next. Is that one of the 613? No, it was a temporary mitzvah. In the 40 years in the desert, they got man. And Hashem said, eat your day's portion, don't leave it over to tomorrow. So that's not one of the 613. So Rambam asks, then why do I enumerate the mitzvot that pertain to Ammon and Moab when they no longer apply? Are they really eternal mitzvot? Rambam says they are. The fact that we can't apply them is our limitation. The mitzvah is still relevant. I don't have a nation to apply it to. I don't know who the Ammonites are. I don't know who the Moabites are. They exist. It could be when Mashiach comes, he'll start pointing fingers and say, that's Ammon, that's Moab, that's Ammon, that's Moab. This family's Ammon, that family's Moab. Could be. But we don't know who they are. We don't know who's Ammon and who's Moab and who's Amalek. We don't know. We have a mitzvah to fight Amalek, but we don't have any Amalek that we know is attacking us. We don't know who is Amalek. So it says Rambam, it's an eternal mitzvah, even though we can't apply it. It's like the Jews were in exile from Israel all these years, so there are the mitzvos of Truma and Miser and tithing, all the mitzvos of the land. Are they no longer relevant? They're relevant. You can't apply them. You're not living in Israel. You can't do them. But the mitzvah still exists. It's an eternal mitzvah. So the same is true over here. Now, when we speak about Esav and Yishmael, so there our assumption is that the Christians are Esav and the Muslims are Yishmael. Why? So our assumption is that the Christians evolved from Esav's family, that the tribes that developed Christianity and were the core members of Christianity were Esav. And ultimately they adopted more families, but they really evolved from Esav. And our assumption is that the core group of Muslims that evolved into all of Islam were Yishmael's family or those tribes. That's one interpretation. This is a broad discussion. Nachmanides, Ibn Ezra, everyone agrees that that's how we view it. In the Midrash and in other places, we assume that even in the Torah, that when the Midrash says, why is he called Yishmael? Why is he called Yishmael? Says the Midrash in Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Eliezer, Yishmael means God will hear. God will hear the Jews crying because he will torment them. That's why it's called Yishmael. Who are we talking about? The assumption is the Muslims. The assumption is that they will be our final enemy. They're the last one who's gonna make it really, really tough for us. And in certain sense, they're supposed to be worse than Esav. That's scary to think about, right? 65-70 years ago, we underwent Esav. Who knows what's waiting for us with Yishmael? But that's what the Medrash says. That's, so in terms of Yishmael and Esav, that's a little different.